I want you to look again this morning, two verses in John chapter 8, both of which carry a very familiar theme. Verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, as everybody knows, 1 week from tomorrow is the revered American holiday known as Memorial Day. Just over a month or so after that, of course, is the quintessential American holiday on July the 4th, known as Independence Day, America's 243rd birthday this year. I noticed in Cracker Barrel this week that they've already carried this patriotic and American theme with a big central display of flags and founding documents and various books and veterans memorabilia. Summer really is the season of freedom in this nation. And I, for one, am plenty patriotic enough to enjoy all of it. Freedom is a gift. But as it is with all gifts, the more precious it is, the more egregious it becomes when it's taken for granted or foolishly squandered. By the way, if the theme that's common to verse 32 and 36 is freedom, then I want you to consider the idea of freedom that's in between those two texts. Notice verse 33. "And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." In other words, now follow this, our Lord Jesus is presenting a contrast here between those who are slaves and those who are not slaves, those who are free. So that this entire chapter really is a divine discussion about freedom, independence, liberty, and bondage. And if there's a key verse to this entire text, undoubtedly it's made in the statement of verse 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You see, beloved, there is a difference between being free and free indeed. Oftentimes, if not most of the time, people misquote verse 32 by saying, "The truth shall set you free." You hear it all the time on TV and pundits. Yes, the truth shall set you free. The truth doesn't set you free. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. That's why Jesus said, there again, verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Made free, not set free, is what makes you free indeed. And where did we see the word indeed before? Look at verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word," first they believed, "but if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Disciples indeed are free indeed. During the French Revolution, there were some of the people that stormed the Bastille in Paris. They threw open the prison gates and the dark dungeon doors, and they set all of those prisoners free. They set them free. Many of them had not seen a ray of sunshine for over 40 years, shackled and chained and imprisoned in a cell, barely enough room to lie down. Suddenly, they were set free. Unfortunately, many of those who were set free took one look at the world outside and were filled with fear, turned around, and went back into that dungeon. You see, they were set free. They were free. But they were not free indeed. They were not made free. And so it is this morning that our Lord says to us, "I have come to make you free. And if the Son will make you free, then ye shall be free indeed." Father, please help us today to understand what real freedom and real liberty is all about. In a society of men and women and people that have no clue, no idea what real liberty is, even in a country that understands that we were based and founded upon freedom and liberty, we have so many, Lord, who are in bondage. And I pray that we will recognize what it means and embrace it according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was a boy in school, fourth grade, fifth and sixth grade, at Sea Park Elementary in Satellite Beach, Florida, I always anticipated greatly what was my favorite sound in all of life. It was the sound of the school bell at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, you can talk about your Liberty Bell, and if I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning and let freedom ring or whatever. But for me, the real Liberty Bell wasn't in Philadelphia. It was in the hallway of my school, and every day at 3 o'clock it would ring, and when it did, I felt a surge of freedom. No more sitting and reading and writing and adding. No more bondage. And now I would run and jump on my Schwinn Stingray bicycle with those high-rise handlebars and that banana seat and even racing slicks. You remember those bikes? They put the center of gravity on the rear tire so that they even put an extension on the back of the banana seat so that you could pop a wheelie and walk it on one tire all the way home. And so I did. I was free, wind blowing in my hair 50 years ago, amen. But I love to hear the sound of that bell because for me it meant freedom, and especially when it was 3 o'clock bell on the last day of school before summer. Some of you young people, your heart's already beating because that's coming close for you. And it was also that very same bell, however, that I hated to hear at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's the bell that marked the beginning of a long day of slavery and bondage and servitude to Mrs. Dene. Mrs. Dene was like the prison guard. Her full name was Ruth Dene, and we lovingly called her Truth Decay. You know, kids are brutal, amen? She was our taskmaster, and at 3 o'clock, we were free of that person. But you know what? We were not. We were not free indeed, because especially on Monday, the next day was school. Even at the end of the year, next fall was school. Those of you who are Navy veterans, you know what they called it when you sailed into some port and you had the weekend to go into town. It was called Liberty. And you had Liberty until you got back on that ship exactly when they said. And then again, it was yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And it was that all over again. So that at best, it was a limited liberty. Free, but not free indeed. And so it is with all of the liberties. I love to hear libertarians in our country, and I believe most of what they say, but libertarians tend to think in their minds that they're free, totally and completely free, and nothing is further from the truth. With all of the liberties and all the freedoms we have in this life, there's no such thing as absolute freedom or total liberty. But there is a true freedom, and there is this morning a true liberty as described in the Word of God. Jesus said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, what did he mean? There are several things I want you to notice. The first one, number one, is freedom. Number one, freedom from Satan. Look at verse 38. I want you to rejoice in this with me. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do. This is what I do. This is what you do. Ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Well, that sounds ominous. Jesus said, I do what my Father wants me to do. You do what your... I wonder who their Father is. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your Father. Ominous words again coming from God in the flesh. Who is their Father? Verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. Whew. Now, folks, there are a lot of things that you could tell somebody or call somebody, and especially a religious person, that would be insulting and offensive to them. You could say something about their looks and shame them on their looks. You could say something about their education, their race, their income. There are all kinds of ways to degrade and insult another human being. But nothing is more insulting typically than to talk about somebody's family, right? Well, imagine then how insulting it is to be religious people. Your identity is that you are the most religious people on the planet. And those religious people, that their father, to be told their father, is Satan. That they are, after all, children of the devil. Now, beloved, the Lord Jesus did not come to this earth to insult people. He came, he said, to tell the truth, and oftentimes the truth is very offensive. When Jesus told Dr. Reverend Rabbi Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You know what he was saying? He was saying that with all of his credentials, Nicodemus wasn't even a child of God. And of course, if God is not your spiritual father, then who is? Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. You see, beloved, it's not like you have the option. If your father is the devil, ye will do the lusts of your father the devil. You know why? Bondage, slavery, captivity. So that real freedom, that is to be free indeed, begins with a new birth. It begins with freedom from Satan himself. In Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus interpreted the parable of the tares, saying that the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, I have to tell you, that was all of us at one time. All of us in this room were children of the wicked one. Paul said in Ephesians 5:8, ye were sometimes, at one time, darkness, but now you're children of the light. Colossians 1:13 says, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his own dear son. The Apostle Peter said that Christ hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. In other words, delivered from Satan. Glory to God. I noticed a sign up in the Stuart, and it said in front of this building, under new ownership. And you know, beloved, that's exactly what happened when I got saved. I was under new ownership and management. And in fact, it goes even deeper than that. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, Pastor, what did he mean by that? Simply this, that not only does God deliver you from the bondage of Satan, not only do you now have freedom from Satan's power, but in addition, he puts you into the family of God, whereby now God is your father under new ownership and thus new management. When we lived in East Tennessee, there was a place in Pigeon Forge in those early days called Silver Dollar City. It's now Dollywood. And in those days, it was just a little park in the motif of a Western town. And some of you who were there may recall that they would have this old storyteller there in the middle, and you would come up and get in a big circle, and he would tell these old stories, true stories of East Tennessee and so forth. And I remember one was a story of a man who came across this merchant who was selling quail. And in fact, what he did was to tie a string to the left leg of all of these quail and then bind them to a single pole in the middle. So that you can picture, here's an entire covey of quail, the sort of pitifully walking around in a constant circle, and they're captive. One of the men came up on the side, and it saddened him so much so that he came and he took the money, and he bought all of them, not one, not two, but all of them. He paid the merchant, and then he removed all the strings, and then he released them into the bush to be free. And the merchant said, what in the world? Are you crazy? What are you doing? And he went to get his gun, and the man said to him, he says, you can't shoot those quail. I just paid for them. They are mine, and I have set them free. You know something, beloved? Once the Lord Jesus redeems you, once he purchases you from the captivity of Satan, in essence, the devil has no claims upon you anymore. In Acts chapter 26, when Paul was giving his testimony to King Agrippa, he said that the Lord Jesus sent him to the Gentiles, quote, quoting, of course, the Old Testament, to, quote, open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why? Free from Satan. And I say glory to God for that freedom. Number two. The second thing, of course, is freedom from sin. I want you to look at the beginning of chapter 8, would you? Notice what it says where men are about to cast stones and put to death a fallen woman, verse 8. And again, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that without the power of Christ, without the new birth, it would not have been possible for this woman to comprehend the words, Go and sin no more. Don't continue, no longer continue in this path of constant sin in your life. She couldn't have comprehended such a thing. You know why? Because as Jesus said to the Pharisees, the lusts of your father ye will do. You just will. And that, beloved, is bondage. But what this woman heard that early morning there in that temple was not bondage at all. It was the fulfillment of the words of Jesus who said in Luke 4:18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see, people in the world who think they're free, I'm free to do what I want, free to do this, free to do that, free to have fun, they're just bruised. They're not free at all. They're actually in bondage. But the Lord Jesus has offered and gives to those who are saved freedom from the bondage of sin. When we were in high school and college, we learned about all the various forms of government throughout history. Monarchy, a government of one. Oligarchy, a government of few. Aristocracy, government by the elite. Plutocracy, government by the rich. Anarchy, no government at all. Democracy, government by popular vote, and so it goes, including a republic, our representative government, which is a government of laws. But do you realize something? Do you realize that none of those governments work? In fact, our founders said that this republic wouldn't even work. None of those governments work if all the people under them and in them are in bondage to sin. Remember the Berlin Wall? The Soviets, the East Germans, built it in 1961 to keep freedom-loving people from running to the West. Never forget, young people, that communism has always had to enslave its people. To this day, go to any communist country and they have to enslave their people. So they built this wall in Berlin. And as you know, in 1989, it came tumbling down. And when it did, large, giant chunks of it were salvaged and placed into various museums all over the world. You could even buy pieces as souvenirs. One of the sections that was saved had the message of graffiti. And it stands to this day. And it simply says, true freedom is of God. It wasn't written on the west side. It was placed on the east side just before it fell. And when they found the man who had written it years later, an old believer, a Christian man, they interviewed him. And when they did, he said something interesting. He said, when the wall came down and we were suddenly given access to the West, what they gave us was $50 in our new freedom to go spend on luxuries and pleasures that we had missed out on in the East. He said, you should have given the people the gospel because now they simply remain in the greater bondage. Verse 34, look at it. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth, that is a constant, a bondage to sin, is the servant to that sin. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's free indeed. I still read periodically the newsletters from Brother Ed Coffey, missionary, who grew up in Liberia and from Liberia. In 1862, as you know, America helped form that nation on the Ivory Coast as a homeland for freed slaves after the Civil War. The capital of Liberia, which means liberty, is Monrovia. It's named after President John Monroe at that time, James Monroe. Even their flag is a modified American flag. Brother Coffey's a dear brother. He prayed for over 30 years for war to end in his country. There are dozens of martyrs in his ministry, including several members of his own family. But I remember something very clearly he told me several years ago when we were together here in the States. He said that of all the things America did to establish his country of Liberia as a nation of liberty, a nation of freedom and for former slaves, he said the one thing that really made the difference between bondage and slavery was sending missionaries with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, as a young Liberian child, he said it was the mission work of R.G. Letourneau that introduced him to Christ and changed his life. And I tell you that to this day, when I see pictures of Liberia on the news, I am immediately struck with the difference between Ed Coffey and most of his Liberian countrymen. Brother Ed is not a slave to sin. He is free. Because if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What does it mean that the Son of God makes you free? Freedom from Satan. Freedom from the bondage of sin. And then number three, you'll notice it means freedom from yourself. Look at verse 12, would you? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, he says that in introduction to our text. Look at verse 30. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. Doesn't the word disciple mean disciplined one? And isn't the disciple a follower of a master? How is it that Christ calls us to be free, not by telling us to do our own thing, but telling us to do the right thing? What kind of free involves submission? Beloved, it's the kind of free that is free indeed. David said something remarkable in the Psalms. He said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Think about that. I will walk at liberty because I seek your law. I seek thy precepts. Liberty, freedom is found inside the confines of the will and the word of God. I'm 21 years old and I'm free to drink and smoke and gamble and watch anything I want anywhere I want. Really? People who do anything they want are not free at all. They're in bondage. I think about the words of a great and familiar hymn. The last stanza of And Can It Be says this, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. In other words, freedom from sin and freedom from Satan. But that's not all. Charles Wesley added one little line at the end of that stanza that we didn't quote just yet. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. You see, beloved, Jesus doesn't just deliver you from Satan and from sin. He delivers you unto himself. Freedom, real freedom, is freedom from yourself. We have a bunch of bikers in our church, several. Some are active, some have retired. And of course, one of the appeals of riding a motorcycle is the feeling of freedom. Nothing above but blue sky and, again, hair blowing in the wind. Passing between cars and lanes, born to be wild. He's one of them right here. He rides a motorcycle. But I noticed, too, the other day, freedom-loving bikers from Texas. I saw their plates, and so I couldn't wait to pass them up because, you know, don't mess with Texas. So I passed them and I looked in the rearview mirror, and sure enough, as I suspected, they were pelted with love bugs. The headlights were black. Florida messed with Texas. Amen. I'm sure there's a feeling. In fact, I know. I from years past, faint memory. There's a feeling of freedom on a motorcycle. But you know, if you weren't free before you got on the motorcycle, then you won't be free once you get off the motorcycle. You need to be free from Satan, free from sin, and free from yourself in order to serve who you were made to serve. You see, you know why this is true freedom? Because this is the freedom to do precisely what you and I were created for. Remember at the beginning of this message, we said that there's really no such thing as absolute freedom and total liberty. And it's true, with one exception. One real exception. When something is doing exactly what it was created to do, then regardless of the constraints, it is experiencing total liberty. Paul said, I am a bond slave to Christ. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. What did he mean? He meant that true freedom is doing what you were made to do, serving God, not serving yourself. In the story of the whale named Willie, Free Willie, what did they do when they freed him? Well, they let him go out into the sea. No more tanks, no more captivity. And yet, notice this carefully. The whale, that whale was only free inasmuch as it yielded to the laws of the ocean and the instincts it was created for. It'll die if it beaches itself. A bird is free if it flies where it belongs. But place the bird under the surface of the ocean and it will perish. A fish is free when the confines of the sea put a fish in the desert and it will die immediately. Look, there is no music. If I jump over there right now and I play that piano and bang on it in any sense that I want and I say, I got the freedom to play this thing. Oh, no. It'll be a mess. But put somebody on that piano who knows and obeys the rules and designs of a keyboard instrument, and there will be beautiful music. That, beloved, is freedom. Freedom, liberty, being free indeed, is serving the God who saved you, who redeemed you, who bought you out of bondage, and then submitting to His will. It is singing, "My chains fell off. My heart was free." And in modern American Christianity, they just stop right there. Love Jesus and do what you want. The chains fell off. My heart was free. But don't forget the rest of it. I rose, went forth, and followed Thee. And my question this morning, is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? Are you submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and therefore becoming His disciples indeed are free indeed? Here's the parts of your testimony. Is your father the devil? Are you in bondage to sin? And are you imprisoned to yourself? If that is your testimony, then Christ came to set you free. He quotes the great prophecy of Isaiah. He has come to set you free, to set at liberty them that are bruised. If He has set you free from the power of Satan and the bondage of sin, then recommit yourself this morning to letting Him make you free by being free from yourself to serve Him. Look, if you have the name Christian, it means Christ's one, Christ-like, a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Do not be ashamed of it. Submit yourself to Him afresh today. Father, I pray that You'll bless this time of invitation. I want to thank You, God, for at the age of 12, reaching down in Your grace and Your mercy, giving to a boy who was bound by sin and Satan and self, giving to him the gospel of freedom, the truth of forgiveness and cleansing. And to hear the words, "Go and sin no more," and to think in my heart that this was actually something that I could spend my life hoping and praying and seeking to do to serve you, not myself. Bless these who have asked prayer, Lord, to that end, for salvation for some, for submission and service for many. We commit it to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.